Again, good morning, and we're certainly thankful for each one who's here today. Eddie, thank you for those songs that you led this morning. I think certainly we'll touch on some of the areas that I want to address here today. We are living in some changing, challenging times. Tommy mentioned that in his prayer this morning. Some of those changes are good, and some of those changes, you know, are not so good. But I am thankful that God's word, his promises, his truths do not change. They are as strong today as when first revealed. I want to read a passage from Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 25. Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 25. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Well, these verses compare the things that can be shaken with those that cannot be shaken. And the writer says that we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. And our response is to show gratitude and to offer to God acceptable service with reverence and awe. The text that Harrison read to us from Psalm 46, let us know that God is our refuge and strength, that he is a very present help in time of trouble. And that we will not fear, we will not be shaken, even if the earth changes, the mountains slip and roar, the waters roar and foam, because God is our refuge and strength. And the psalm closes telling us to be still and know that he is God. And he will be with us. And the writer says that God is indeed our stronghold. That particular psalm was the reason for Luther's hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And some have suggested that that is the most powerful hymn of the Protestant Reformation. A Mighty Fortress is Our God. This hymn became the battle cry of the people, a great source of strength and inspiration, even for those who were martyred for their convictions. We are told that even in times of difficulty, in times of danger, that Luther would often resort to this song. He would say to his associate, Philip Melanchthon, come, Philip, let us sing the 46th Psalm. The first line of this hymn is fittingly inscribed on the tomb of the great reformer at Wittenberg. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Let me share some areas where we as God's people will remain firm and steadfast. And we will remember that God is indeed our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So number one, we will continue to worship God in spirit and truth. John chapter 4, beginning at verse 21, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. We see from these verses that our Heavenly Father desires worship from his people, and that it does make a difference whether we follow God's directions in worship. Worship is to be done the way that God directs, and our worship, Jesus said, is to be done in spirit and truth. And so the heart, the mind, the spirit of the person is to be involved in worship in accordance with His divine will. But number two, we will continue to practice the golden rule. In that, we will remain firm and steadfast. Matthew 7, verse 12, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. This great truth is a principle that ought to govern our attitudes toward others, and it must be practiced in every area of life. And I believe the one who practices the golden rule refuses to say or do anything that would harm himself or others. You know, when it comes to simplifying things, Jesus indeed was the master. No greater example of this exists than here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Here's a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. You want to talk about bottom lining, getting to the heart of the matter? Some have compared it to other rules that have surfaced in our world. The iron rule, do to others before they do to you. This is the rule of intimidation, of domination. The bronze rule, do to others what they do to you. This is the rule of retaliation, the rule of attempting to get even. But we will do our best to practice the golden rule in everything. Treat people the same way you want them to treat you. Wouldn't our world be a different world if we all practiced that? Amen? Sorry, Eddie.
Amen.
He told me if I get an amen this morning that I might faint up here. But you see, I got that one. I pulled that out of you. But it do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus said that really sums up in some ways the law and the prophets. Number three, we will continue to uphold the sanctity of the home. In that, we will remain firm and steadfast. Psalm 11, verse 3, raises a very penetrating question. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, the sanctity of the home is one of those important foundations that must be maintained. The family is the basic social unit in every society. It was the first social unit created by God. Genesis 2 and verse 18, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. You remember all through Genesis 1, what is that refrain? It is good. It is good. What is the first thing that God saw that was not good? It was not good for the man to be alone. So I will make a helper suitable for him. And then in 2:24, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so we will do our very best to uphold the sanctity of the home. But number four, we will continue to love Christ and His church. In that, we will remain steadfast and firm. Matthew chapter 16 is a very familiar passage of Scripture. Now, when they came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but some others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also said to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Now, the church did not come into existence overnight. It was planned, it was prophesied, it was promised, and then established. The church, a blood-bought, spirit-filled, heaven-bound body of people. And we cannot separate Christ and His church. And the promise of Jesus here was that the powers of death, the gates of Hades, will not overpower it. And we are called upon to support it by our presence, by our participation, and by our prayers. Number five, we will continue to seek the lost and lead them to Jesus. Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." This is one of those significant purpose statements of our Lord. Jesus stated plainly that He had come to seek and to save those who were lost. Evangelism, sharing the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so we must never forget our marching orders. Go, teach, baptize, teach some more. And let's be praying for open doors to share the gospel of Christ. May that be a daily prayer of ours. Lord, open up doors of opportunity for me to tell someone about Your love and about what Jesus Christ can mean in their lives. But number six, we will continue to preach the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ." People's view of truth may change. People's acceptance of truth may change. People's understanding of truth may change. But truth itself does not change. God's truth must be the standard. Now, I'm fully aware that there are a number of standards that people go by to determine right and wrong. Popularity, one's own feelings, our thinking, tradition, the majority. And what we need to do is to take the Word of God and affirm that this is our standard of truth. And as I've gone through the New Testament, it's interesting to me that the Word of God calls upon us to love the truth, to obey the truth, to worship in truth, to speak the truth, to handle accurately the word of truth, to defend the truth, and to stand up for the truth. Speaking the truth in love. I've always tried to make that an important motto for my life as a preacher and proclaimer of the gospel. I want to proclaim God's truth, but I want to make sure that I proclaim it in a loving way. As Paul said here, "But speak the truth in love." And then number seven, we will continue to focus our heart, mind, soul, and strength on heaven. Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing I have asked from the Lord, and that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple." And Paul in Philippians 3, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And we've sung about pressing on that upward way this morning. So we're on a journey. Our final destination is heaven, and we must not allow anything to deter us from that goal. So how can we remain strong in these changing, challenging times? We need our feet planted on a firm foundation. We need to keep our eyes on the goal. We need to keep our minds filled with hope. We need to keep our hearts open to one another. And we must keep our hands at the work of God. That second verse of Henry Lyte's hymn, "Abide With Me," reminds us, "Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. We've sung that old spiritual this morning, I shall not be moved, and I think it expresses well what I've been trying to say here this morning. Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. In His love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in Him confiding, I shall not be moved. Though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me, I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. We are living in some challenging times, but in all these things, we will do our very best to remain firm and steadfast. That we will remember that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And so we will do our very best to continue to worship in spirit and truth, that we will do our best to practice the golden rule, to uphold the sanctity of the home, to continue to love Christ and His church, that we will continue to do our very best to seek and to lead people to Christ, that we will continue to preach the truth in love, and we will continue to focus our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength on our ultimate goal. And that's one day, being with God and His Son and the Spirit in heaven. I've mentioned before that I believe that one of Satan's greatest tools is distraction. How easily it is for us to become distracted from what is really, really important. And that's why I think these texts about I press on toward the goal of the upward call of Christ Jesus, that I'm going to fix my mind, my heart, my soul on God, on His Son, and on heaven. And in these things, we will not be moved. If there's anyone today who needs to begin their life of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to sing our song of encouragement. And you need to come in trusting faith with a repentant spirit, with a willingness to be buried with your Lord in baptism so that you can have your sins forgiven, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, become a spiritual son or daughter of God, the Lord adding you to His spiritual family, the church. If that's your need this morning, I pray that you will respond to this gospel invitation. If you desire the prayers of the congregation, we're here to pray with you and to pray for you. But here are some things that I really want us to remain strong. We're not going to be shaken. We're not going to be moved away from these essential truths that we've shared here this morning. But if we can help you in any way today, would you let us know how as we stand together and sing?